was meeting, but I called it to order.
Yeah.
Okay. At 9 o'clock. Okay.
Good to see you.
Nobody coughing with Liz?
Anybody sick? The doors have been wiped down.
Yeah, everything's been wiped. I wiped it earlier today.
No coughing, no sneezing.
If you have to go outside.
If you want to be outside, we'll call you for your agenda item.
I'm ready.
Okay, then. This is Friday, March 13, 2020, the meeting of the Board of Land and Natural Resources at 9 a.m. Thank you all for being here. Stay safe. We have a small group today, so we're probably fine, but we have a rapidly evolving situation, so we do want to make sure everybody stays safe in these gatherings. First off, we have our standard contested case statement. Board Member Gahn, would you please read it?
I'd be happy to, Chair. Good morning, everyone. In some of the matters before the board, a person may wish to request a contested case hearing. If such a request is made before the board's decision on an item, then the board will consider the request first before considering the merits of the item before it. A person who wants a contested case may also wait until the board decides the issue, then request a contested case after the decision. It's up to you. Any request must be made orally by the end of the meeting and followed up in writing within 10 days. If no request for contested case is made, the board will make a decision. The department will treat the decision as final and proceed accordingly. Thank you.
Thank you. The first item is the minutes from the January 28, 2020 meeting. Board members, that's item A1. Anyone have any additional comments? Any public testimony? Is
there move to approve.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. First up on the move-up agenda is item M3, DOT. Karen Chen.
Aye. Trying to acquire these fee simple properties for our project on Maui. It's on the Pilani Highway Realignment Phase 1A. The project was NH03015-35 at Lahaina, Maui. And the TMT is Parent 2-4-5-21 and a portion of 003.
Thank you. And just for the record, you're Karen Chen.
Oh, sorry, yes.
At DOT. Okay. All right. Questions, board members? Anybody want to add anything? Any public testimony? If not, is there a motion to approve it?
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, next up is B3.
B3 is a consent to request for the board to consent to the assignment of the lease. The lease is for the parking lot only. This is a parcel that we have, an irregular parcel on minutes fronting between the Xerox building, which is privately owned, and Nimitz Highway. And they sold the Nimitz, the Xerox building, and they want to sell this. That's all it is.
Okay, any questions?
Straightforward.
Any public testimony on this? Not, is there
move to vote. Approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, next up is D2.
D2 is a Waikoloa Beach Association easement, commercial mooring easement that this association has. And they're asking for a consent to sublease. This is an easement document, so there's no rent sharing, but it would be captured. The gross receipts of the subtenant would be captured within the gross receipts of the easement holder for calculation of percentage rent. This is a representative of the...
Yes, Dale Sain, on behalf of Waikoloa Beach Association. We find the proposal by staff acceptable.
Okay, thank you. Any questions?
You anticipated my question.
Any other questions? Any public testimony? Not the motion to approve D2. That's submitted.
Second.
On favor.
Aye.
Okay. K1. Oh, not here. Let's go with M4 and 5. Okay, any questions that our board members on M4 and 5? Okay, is there a motion to, any public testimony? Is there a motion to approve M4 and 5?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So that is it for the move up agenda. Okay, who else is here for something? Hey, Ross, are you?
Let's see.
I know. Okay, so let's wait on that. Well, we need.
Ross, get him one and one and two.
Russell, can you get OCC all guys?
What are you doing?
We're M2.
Oh, you're M2. Okay, let's wait on that. Are you all here for the M1? Which
K1.
One? You're K1. Okay, anyone here for not K1 or not M2? Okay. We're going to do K1 next.
I think so.
36.
Let's do M1.
Madam Chair, board members, Ross Smith, Department of Transportation, Airports Division, for item M1. It's at Daniel K. Inouye International Airport. DOT seeks approval to issue a 5-year hangar facility lease to Wing Spirit Inc. for air charter, air medical, and related services. Annual rent will be $9,996.48, or approximately 19,241 square feet of cruise land and 6,636 square feet of building.
Okay, any questions on M1, folks? Any public testimony? If not, is there a motion to approve M1?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, K1.
Sorry, I was on the phone with Chair Lowen. Thank you, Chair, Board Member Sam Luno, Office of Conservation Coastal Lands. This is a alleged unauthorized land use transient vacation rental located Kona Road, Kona Paradise Subdivision. You see the staff report. There's a letter from Carl Smith Ball asking for a reduction in fines. And there's also a personal statement of Christopher Arai that I have that was attached to the latest submission by him, in which he sort of reiterates why he'd like the fine reduced. I know you're sort of...
Sorry, that letter, is that attached to the Carl Smith Ball letter?
Is that the one I forwarded to them?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so it's forwarded, but here's our copy.
Does anybody need
more
copies?
We got
it.
So as you can see in this case, we were assessing a single $15,000 fine. And also a second fine for $5,000 because it was our position that even after we notified them verbally that it was unauthorized and not allowed, we had evidence that it may have been continuing by them trying to seek a permit from the county to continue the use. But that's all just, you know, our that's it.
Okay, questions, board members?
On the $5,000 fine, so normally these have been coming up because they submitted the application to the county. The county looked at it and they said, whoa, you're in the conservation district. We can't process you. And then the county's been telling OCCL.
Yeah.
So what happened? And then you haven't been tacking an extra $5,000 for making this application. So why is this one different?
Yeah, this was different because they, according to my staff, there was an interaction with them, and at one point, I'm just basing this on memory because I can't seem to find the section where we talk about it in the report. And it appears that even after being notified that it was not allowed, okay, here it goes. Mr. Arai and Ms. Lesher contacted OCCO regarding the use of their property for transient rental purposes and were subsequently given verbal and written notification that transient rentals are prohibited in the conservation district. The landowners then submitted with their application to the county, submitted an application to the county of Hawaii to register the property as a short-term vacation rental. So that's what our position was, is that they were notified of and then they went ahead, they seemed to have gone ahead anyway. And then the county notified us right after. Mm-hmm. So that's it.
Okay, other questions, board members? Okay, does the applicant want to?
Mahalo, Chair, members of the board. On the phone on behalf of Mr. Christopher Arai, Tess Lesher, the owners of the property. Wanted to thank you folks and OCCO as well, first off, for allowing us to withdraw the matter last month and get back to this month. As a refresher, the reason we did that was because there's a dispute. The Declaration of Restrictive Covenants that relate to the CUP for this property were not recorded against the property, so we tendered the matter to insurance. When the February 14th meeting came up, we hadn't heard from insurance at that time, and we have since heard from the insurers, and so we can proceed today. You folks have seen our letter, and Mr. Arai apologizes for not coming in today. He came in February, but due to coronavirus, he didn't want to travel unnecessarily. Our letter states, the Arais are willing to accept the $15,000 fine for doing the vacation rentals on the property, as well as the $2,000 administrative fees. They're simply requesting that the $5,000 fine not be imposed. Our reading of the rule is that, it's a use violation. You can't have transient vacation rentals in a conservation district. And so that's what the first $15,000 fine is for. I don't read the rule to allow BLNR to impose a fine simply for submitting a county application, right? But, which the application in and of itself doesn't relate to actually doing transient vacation rentals in the conservation district. So that's our request before you today.
Thank you. Questions?
Yeah. I'm confused on the on the notice. What has happened with the claim with either the title company or
the former owner?
Wasn't the declaration regarding conservation set forth in the original warranty deed?
It is not, and that is enclosed as enclosure 1 in the letter that we submitted yesterday. If you look at both the warranty deed and the title policy that was issued in 2006, when Mr. Arai purchased the property, the declaration is not noted. And we did some research, and it's included, I believe, it's exhibit 9, and staff submitted that the declaration was in fact recorded to the Bureau. So title didn't pick it up. And so for our property owner, it was a surprise to him that they could not do vacation rentals in 2019, and they contacted OCCL.
So what is this position with with the title company?
We're pursuing those claims separately. We understand that's not an issue for the board. I mean, you don't control that. But so for our position is we had asked for a withdrawal just so that we could have time for the insurers to respond to us because we had to tender claims, right?
I guess in looking at that, it came out over the internet yesterday.
Yes.
When I looked at the new original warranty deed to the buyers, I thought there was a reference to a declaration or a conservation
yes.
or something like that.
There are some declarations referenced related to the property bylaws and whatnot for that particular subdivision, but the particular declaration of restrictive covenants that references the CUP and the restriction on using the property for commercial purposes is not noted on either the deed or the title policy.
So that's not, that's not a requirement. Is it a requirement for the conservation district use?
Yeah, typically we include a condition that it has to be recorded.
It's in a condition in the CUP.
Yeah. I think what she's saying is it was recorded, but their title company didn't pick
right.
it up when
prior to being notified by OCCO, the client was unaware of the restrictions on the property.
I think so.
What?
I mean, when I looked at this case, I just said I picked it up. I mean, when I looked at this case, I searched the Bureau of Conveyances just to be sure that there had been, because I knew there was supposed to be something recorded, and sometimes people come in and say, well, it was just I didn't know. Right. And anyway.
Right. We're saying it was recorded, but for some
not
reason, the title
work.
Didn't.
Yeah, not
right.
good work.
Yeah, so separate issue from BLNR, we're just here requesting that the $5,000 fine that's being imposed for the purpose of our client submitting the non-conforming use application be rescinded. So in Hawaii County, there was a deadline that, you know, anybody who wanted to preserve those uses had to file the application. The client went ahead and did it. He was exploring other options, possibly getting a district boundary amendment, trying to preserve their rights. The intent wasn't to, you know, violate further once being notified by OCCL that they couldn't continue this use. They removed advertising and whatnot. So all we're requesting, again, the clients...
So they did stop use.
They did stop the use, that's correct.
Okay.
He wasn't, I mean, that's your explanation. I mean, my question was going to be, why, after being told that he couldn't do it, did he still submit the application?
Right. So he thought he could perhaps seek a district boundary amendment from the Land Use Commission and then preserve whatever he could with the county.
Yeah, I guess you could. Sam, you have any indication that they did not stop? That they
no.
that use continued?
No, we didn't stake it out. So
okay.
That
well,
really the only
you thing. Know, there's websites, things like that. Yeah.
But even yet, it's like websites get left up. Maybe mm-hmm. they're not doing it, but the website still. I mean,
okay. Okay.
Did they in fact stop renting after the notification?
Yes. To our knowledge, yes. That's what the client
notwithstanding the fact that they filed the...
That's correct.
Okay, any other questions? Any public testimony on it? If somebody want to make a motion?
I'll move to impose the $15,000 fine, the $2,000 administrative fees, remove the $5,000 separate fine, for there seems, you know, I can understand, it doesn't sound like they were just trying to do an end run. They would have had to have filed it, had and to grandfather it under the county, if they had proceeded and gotten a district boundary amendment, then they wouldn't be in conservation anymore, and they could have cleared themselves out of conservation district requirements.
Okay, so
you are
making a motion to approve the staff submittal except to delete
number two.
$5,000 fine and amend number four to $17,000 total.
Yeah,
correct.
Okay,
second.
Okay, all in favor.
Wait, discussion.
Discussion.
You first.
Okay, so condition number nine, are they ready to pay the $17,000?
I believe it says within 180 days.
I think you have $15,000 per day until the order is complied with.
Right, so the $15,000 were under, well, if they continue the use, right,
correct.
You have to find that there's a violation and they've stopped renting the property as vacation rental.
Okay.
And my comment was just notwithstanding the decision for us to pull out the $5,000 fine, I'm glad that you put that in because this situation is every case has to be considered independently. And if we had found, for example, that they did this application and continued to to make use, and it would have been perfectly appropriate to do that. So,
other discussion?
I just wanted to make sure that you knew that we pulled that out only after hearing testimony.
He knows.
I know. Sometimes he feels hammered on, though.
We support your approach.
Yeah, it's sure. It's I know you do.
Good virtual hug.
Thank you for articulating it.
Okay. Any further discussion? Not all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for the time that you spent, you know, researching this.
Yes, absolutely. And we also understand the reason why, you know, OCCL is cracking down on this, but we appreciate you both.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Okay, let's do M2.
Item M2 is at Lihue Airport. The DOT requests approval to issue a 30-year fixed base operator lease to Airborne Aviation Incorporated. Airborne seeks to build a Part 14 CFR Part 145 repair station, which will specialize in helicopter airframe and power plant repairs. Facility will be, it will include a hangar of approximately 10,800 square feet on a 24,776 square foot lot. Grant assurances number 22C states each FBO operator at the airport shall be subject to the same or similar uses or set of such airport to serve any air carrier at such airport. DOT affirms that the sale of leases by notice at public auction would likely cause disparate rental rates. The current DOT schedule of rates and charges sets the rates for the first 5 years of lease at $57,480.30. 4 years, 6 through 10, the rent would be $66,102.37. And for years 11 through 15, it would be $76,017.72. Rent for years 16 to 20 will be determined by an independent appraiser. For years 21 through 25, the rent would be $115 of year 20. Rent for the final 5 years would be a fair market determined by an independent appraiser.
Good questions.
I actually have a bunch of questions that relate to the letter that we received saying that the existing FBOs were not real FBOs. And I'm going to hold those because I think some people may be here to testify. I do want to, just right now, ask you to name which company is providing, currently is providing repairs and maintenance of aircraft?
Oh, I'm sorry, I did not go through my list of things at Lihue before I came to the Norfolk Airport today, and I don't have them at hand.
And you don't know who the two are that
I provide? No, right off the top of my head, I don't. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to bring that to you as soon as I get back to the office.
Mm-hmm. All right, any other questions, or do we want to go to public testimony?
Public testimony.
Let's go to public testimony.
We're actually with Airborne Aviation.
Oh, you are? Any other public testimony? Okay, do you want to?
Sure, we can answer any
questions. Good morning, Board. Brandon Miranda, Airborne Aviation.
Delzell Miranda, Airborne Aviation. I know that you had a couple of questions, and if there was anything that we could, from our end, help in satisfying those from the companies.
I'm sorry. Did you see the letter that we got from
Island Helicopters? Yes.
Okay. So.
Wait, can I ask a question? Do you guys contract with DLNR?
Yes.
Yes. We're a utility helicopter company.
So.
What's it? What?
They. DLNR contracts with Airborne.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So I guess we'll just make that disclosure here. So.
To do what? To fix our helicopters?
No.
You're a utility company.
conservation, like fencing, flying fencing materials around, that kind of stuff.
TNC, we have
pretty extensively.
Okay.
Clients.
They fly deal and our staff to remote locations.
Okay.
As all those other conservation managers.
Okay. I don't think there's an issue from what I'm seeing.
Okay. Thanks.
The gist of the letter, not, I think, so much directed at you, but at a couple of existing companies that have FBOs that they think are being favorably treated because the letter claims that they do not actually offer repair services.
I think the companies that they pertain to within the letter that they're claiming have FBOs are not necessarily the companies that they are, I don't think they have proper information for their letter. I think the two companies that were listed within that letter was stated to be Blue and Jack Carter. And those companies are different as far as compared to our company in the sense that they are 100% tour companies, which is also the same as Island Helicopters. As opposed to us, we are a utility company, first and foremost, and not a tour company. We are trying to get our FBO so that we're able, because we're a small local company, and we're trying to expand to help to offset and grow there and possibly do tours to offset costs. But we're a utility company first. So there is a difference in what we're trying to do as far as the FBO.
I'd like to elaborate with that also is you know, the questioning of doing maintenance and all of that. Right now, we have a contract with the county. We run the county aircraft, and we also fix the county aircraft. Our mechanic came over from Blue Hawaii, and he has the ability to, they asked him if we started an FBO that they wanted to service, use him because he's one of the top mechanics within Hawaii in their eyes. So our idea was to be able to, being in the conservation and only conservation and not tour is very difficult in the business because we only have a limited amount of work. And what's making it harder for us is we've got competition that comes in that does touring and drive our prices down to make it very hard because they don't want us in the competition of the business. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to expand in different areas of avenue to bring in revenue so we can sustain our company and not just be one-stop shop where we can only fly people out because the weather affects us. There's only so much DLNR work and TNC and all that. I mean, we have the most qualified pilots out there. That's how we design our company for safety for the long haul, short haul, and also for swing loads and everything else. So when we vet our pilots, we vet our pilots on their qualifications of time, experience, and all of this stuff. And when we're competing with somebody who has pilots that are tour pilots, they don't really qualify. But when they bid against us, the state goes with the cheapest rate. That's always the case. So it becomes an unfair term when they have another source of income. And I can see that because they're driving it so low that it's like you can't even make money doing it. But in return, they fly it in between their tours. And that's why we end up getting a lot of the work back. Not a lot of it, but their priority would come second. So if they can't affiliate it, they'll bring them in, oh, we can't get you till the end of the day. So it becomes an unfair situation for us. And the only way we can do it is by expanding in a variety of stuff that we can do within the airport itself.
Without discounting our utility side, because for us, our utility side of our company is number one as opposed to any of the other companies there.
Right.
And
we've been, that's what we've been operating ever since. And we've been, you know, we don't do tours right now, but we feel that we got us. We're not trying to hide anything like he's saying, oh, we're going the opposite direction and trying to get into tours. That's not what we're doing. We're trying to give equal playing field within the industry because of the fact that it becomes hard for us to be sustainable when whatever little bit contracts out there, we get dive down on cost. So that's kind of why, you know, we're trying to expand on what we're doing.
When you say utility, you mean doing sling loads, flying people on contract basis.
Correct.
That's utility.
Correct.
What about any kind of repair services offered to outside businesses?
Right now, the only repair we offer is to the county.
For the fire contract.
The county helicopter. So that's our outside contract. But we need a facility to be able to offer that outside contract. It's kind of one of those, you got to have one to start the other. And so we have everything lined up ready to go, but we need to have a facility to show that we have the appropriate things to be able to do this type of work. We have the guys, the capabilities, and the guys to put the paperwork together for that. But
well, I'm making it easier for the contract that we already have, and our customers are not having, just having a facility that they can come to instead of creating different areas that we have as far as picking our clients up here, from different places.
Where do you work now? Where do you work out of now?
We have a temporary lease, a 30-day lease.
In the same area.
We've been there for about, but we bought the company from another company, so they've been there, so I think 7 or 8 years now.
Yeah, if I'm understanding the legal side of this correctly, the Department of Transportation is offering you this fixed base operator lease, direct lease, rather than it being a competitive lease on the basis that you will offer repair services. And I'm not sure, I'm still concerned about the letter. I don't know, and unfortunately our DOT person is unable to tell us right now. The island helicopter sounded quite convinced, and you're also seem convinced that those two entities are not Jack Harter and Blue Hawaii are not offering any kind of repair services, but you don't know whether their status is under this FBO.
Well, I don't even think Jack Harter is
under this.
Right?
And I just need to. You don't need to establish legality of somebody else. It's a concern that I have and that came up with this. And I think what I. We'll see with the rest of our discussion. I think what I'm going to suggest is we act on these guys, but add a condition that Mr. Smith report back to us on the other, on this complaint that's been basically made to us that people are getting FBO status without offering repair or without legitimately offering the outside services that they are supposed to provide. Unfortunately, it seems that the people who wrote the letter didn't show up, and I don't believe everything necessarily that I read in the letter.
We did have a discussion at a prior board meeting where people made that allegation that the FBO status was not legitimate because the repairs were being made to the same company getting the lease. I remember that.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That is correct.
And I don't remember
so
where.
So in this case, they actually are. Right?
Yeah. So yeah. So I'm, that's why I'm not arguing to hold this up, but I just want to, I don't remember, I know we had this discussion before, I just don't remember where we went with it, and I'm a little concerned.
Well, I like your idea, though.
We should be.
I think it would be reasonable to move forward with this group and then ask for a follow-up from DOT.
Yeah. Okay.
Anybody else have any comments?
For me, I find that the competition is so great on Kauai for these two helicopters. It's dog eat dog. You see somebody might come in and take a piece of the pie. They don't be fighting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think the idea is we just want to make it clear to represent what we do, what the letter stated, and I think the letter could be right. I mean, I do think Blue Hawaii has an FOB, not one, I think they do, or FBO, I'm sorry. And they have a parts 145. I believe Blue Hawaii does. I don't think Jack Harter does. But I cannot speak for them, but I know with them saying that, that's the direction we're going, and we already manage, the county helicopter, and we do it within our base.
What percentage of your business do you think is utility?
Almost all of it.
What is that?
like 98% of our is all utility.
As you go forward to try and sustain, mm-hmm. was that percentage going to change?
It would change. We can't say it wouldn't change. We need the help to be sustainability to do it. But our number one priority is, by first off, is doing utility work. Right. You know, because that's what our pilots don't want to fly towards. It's not what they want to do. They don't want to fly towards. That's their big thing. They all avoid it. But the bottom line is to be sustainable in the industry, because it's not enough work for everybody. Now, if it was just us, you know, we could manage it. But because, you know, people drive, like when we bid against a true utility company from Maui and stuff like that, rates are comparable. You know, they're really close. But when a tour operator comes in, doesn't even have that same qualifications, you know, go in and bid, I mean, he drives it down a good percentage to where it's very, very difficult. Like, we're trying to go a little lower, and I understand it, you know, it helps with the competition, but it's fair competition. So that way, you know, if he can't, he wants to drive it down and not make money. And that's why he does it, in the fact that he does it in between tours, so it's off times. For us, this is our priority.
So what you're saying, you have a tour helicopter business that come in and can bid utility work, like what you guys are
yes.
doing? So there's no regulations for them, like what you guys have with your, what you do, you know, the hours or how you look for pilots and so forth. So a guy that may not know nothing would be a tour business and come do what you're doing?
Some places have regulations. Some state stuff, it's as long as you have so many hours, or you have to have FAA qualifications for long line and short haul. It's the time and experience is what they don't have.
And we pay for training.
So what happens now if you start doing tours mm-hmm. to offset the income that you don't have?
Right.
So you know, which is all right. But your pilots are saying that they don't want to do tours.
Correct.
But they have no choice.
They have no choice. When we talk to them, they're all willing to, they don't have a problem doing tours. They just don't want to do tours every day.
Okay.
That's what excites them about doing what we do, because we do technical work. We do stuff with Kauai Island Utilities. We do all this technical stuff. For them, it's exciting. It's something different. At some point, driving around in circles, talking tours, it gets tired. Every single tour person does it. But they're okay with it. You know, if they had to do it once in a while, they said it would be fine. But, and they understand it. But that's how we vet our people. And we wouldn't put somebody out there that's just got their short haul experience or anything. I mean, we train regularly with the fire department monthly, you know, with short hauling, doing rescues, doing all these things. And it's very, very, you know, high quality guys need to do that, because we have people's lives online.
Sure.
And the fire guys aren't going to want to just go in some other operator.
Right. Exactly.
So we vet our pilots really well, and we also do training regularly that other people don't do. You know, they just grab the job and you know, I mean, they're lifting rubbish, no big deal, they're digging out the beach and stuff. But it makes it hard. And it makes, so the only way we can all play together is play in the same sandbox, so that way it's equal.
All right, thank you.
Okay, other questions? Comments? Public testimony? I think I'm going to recuse. I just want to because dealing our contracts with you guys, it's cleaner.
So Suzanne, may I comment on that?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a wise idea, and you've recused because as the exec, you know, sort of the acting person who acts, you have knowledge of them. I take it that the rest of the board members don't have any particular knowledge or interaction with these folks.
So
wouldn't have the same reason to recuse as you. Would that be fair to say for the record?
I think that's fair. Even though Nature Conservancy is among the clients, it's the Kauai program, and I as an individual have no direct interaction with you folks. I was going to make mention that the skills of people who are specially trained to do this kind of conservation work is uncommon and deserves support. But that's a generality that I would make of any skill set.
Okay, I just think it was helpful to have on the record that there's a particular reason that Suzanne might, or Chair might, recuse it.
Yeah, I actually sign off on the contract.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I in contrast, do not do any of that.
Payments, so I'm going to recuse.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Okay. All right. Is there a motion to approve?
Yeah, I'll make it.
So who's going to act as chair in your absence?
I said something that I...
What he's in favor to, yeah, but you go make a motion, Chris.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve this item, but ask DOT to come back in 60 days with a report on Lihue Airport. Who are the FBOs? And number two, what is the evidence that they are offering the services that they need to in order to qualify as an FBO?
Okay, I second.
Mm-hmm. Did you want to make that motion?
Oh, no, I second.
Okay. All right, further discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And I'm recusing.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for taking the time to come in.
Your last name, Miranda?
Yes.
What was your father's name?
Rudy.
Oh, Rudy.
Yeah, different Miranda. That's
different Miranda.
That's the Cowboys.
Big guy.
That's the Cowboys.
Yeah.
My helicopters.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, any other members of the public? Okay, Rob, you want to see one?
And this item is just a renewal of a mutual aid agreement with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. It allows us to work closely with them on fire responses. Sometimes there are situations where there's a fire on an island and they don't have resources. So we will provide the initial attack, and this will allow them to reimburse us. Could go the other way, too, if we have a large fire on one of the islands and we need some federal resources. To come onto our fire, it just facilitates both the response as well as other fire-related things like training.
Great, thank you. All right, questions, board members?
No question, but a comment. This kind of MOU is really important between our conservation partners.
Okay. Public testimony? Not. The motion to approve, C1?
So moved.
Second.
In favor?
Aye.
Okay, D1.
Russell.
Request to amend the prior approval for KIUC and they're providing the lines into the state project, which was Mana drag strip. Although we don't operate the drag strip, and neither does the county, we do put our PLs on top of the organization that operates the drag strip. We established that there's, you know, there's a lot of, what, 2.5 million state funds. Improve this facility, and so we think this qualifies as a government project, and therefore asking the board to approve the reduction for the easement amount to $500,000 as compared to the market.
Okay, any questions?
I do. Yeah. Isn't it one time this particular agenda item came before us, and it was something about the lights too, because they were talking about certain kind of lights they were using there. You wouldn't have to redo the different lighting.
For the lighting.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then engineer could have put it in at that same time when they were doing the whole project, but they forgot. So they used up all the funds. They were going to actually fund it. Their intent was to fund the easement cost. But then there was a new engineer, and it wasn't familiar with it. They spent the rest of the money. So here we are, after the project is up, the lights are up.
Yeah.
We're trying to bring in utilities into the facility. And so that's what this easement is about.
Yeah, but it was also about changing the light bulbs.
Yeah, so
Shearwater,
part of the seabird.
That was the seabird protection, because the lights were not conducive to the one that was going to go in.
Right.
So the lighting had to be changed. I thought this came before us at one time.
It did.
Yeah.
From land or from engineering?
Land. It was from land.
I think it was land.
Yeah, I do too.
Because the other one that would be, we're not involved with the lighting part yet, so it wouldn't be involved. I mean, I'm sure with DOFA.
It was an easement. It was the same easement. Yeah. It was this easement.
Yeah.
I think what happens is DOFA commented because there were some conditions on. Like, there's conditions on making sure the utility line is along the line of the trees so that it's not above, so birds don't...
Similar.
But the direction of the lighting was an issue. hopefully that's fine.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions?
No public testimony?
Is there a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second.
In favor?
Oh, sorry, Tony.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
D4.
Aye.
D4 is a right of entry request from the Waikiki Community Center for beach activities on Dukan Beach, asking for grants for the program. I don't have anything to add.
Ask Yoni.
Any questions? Okay. Yeah, actually turned your head. Made you look.
Maybe Kuni likes you something.
Good thing when I was streaming.
Okay. Questions? Is there a motion to approve?
So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. That's it.
No.
Oh, you're done?
We're done.
Whoa. 9:47.
Yay.
No, it isn't the record. The record was 9:37.
Yeah.
But that is amazing.